Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Double, double, double banger. Double banger. Bang, bang, bang.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Loves the double, double, double bang. By the way, I don't know if we announced it. Did you say that on the air? The limo guy was 1-4.
I told you off the air. Yeah, limo guy lost.
Limo guy 1-4, and it was Frank. Frank beat him again. He'd beaten him before and beat the limo guy. And I think he was at that game last night. And boy, what a game it was for our Astros. You want to talk about lighting it up? You want to talk about the scoreboard? It was a merry-go-round on the base pass. It was unbelievable, the offensive explosion of one hit in the first inning and then two hits in the ninth, and that was it. They went 7 2/3 innings, the Astros, against the A's. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's the 72 Orioles. This was the Oakland A's, who are the worst team in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you had one hit in the first, a single, and then two singles in the ninth. And that's it. What the bleep in the...
It's terrible.
Could have gone up three games on the Mariners. You're now two games over the Rangers, 2.5 over the Mariners.
Yeah, you're fine from that standpoint. But it's just so disappointing to see such a bad team come in and beat the Astros at home. I mean, once again, the Astros just... You know, they're ripping teams left and right, and all of a sudden they step up against one of the worst teams in baseball. I mean, one of the historically bad teams in baseball history, and this is what they do. They come up with three hits and a shutout. I mean, it's very frustrating, and it's what creates doubt in your mind. Not that it matters. I mean, you got to play the games on the ground. I mean, play the games in the field, but it still creates that doubt where you realize, man, this is the team that just... They are now a game away from being, once again, a game away from being 500 at home. And, you know, if they win a division, they're going to have home field advantage. But they just cannot beat – they struggle to beat the worst teams at home.
Yeah.
It's just super, super frustrating. Grand scheme of things, they're still fine. But it's just a frustrating thing that they haven't overcome it at this point. You won 2 out of 3 against the Padres, and you think, okay, now you come in, let's take care of business. And even if they win the next two – you still want to just sweep the A's. Come on. Sweep the A's and the Royals, and you're done.
Yeah.
You're in, basically.
Yeah. Oh, no,
no one can
in.
Touch
they
you.
They got a 99. Going into that game last night, they got a 99.1% chance of getting to the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. There's no question. They're going to beat the A's. They're going to take care of the business.
You know their numbers.
But by the way, the Royals are the worst team in baseball.
Yeah, they've actually overtaken them.
Yeah.
And they're the worst road team. Only 18 wins, and they come in next.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter to the Astros.
Right.
That really
That's
right. doesn't.
It
really
it's really irrelevant what your it record really, is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because you can beat the Astros in Minute Maid. It's just ridiculous. It is just ridiculous the way that they play at home. One game over 500 at home. That's just amazing. Just amazing. 37-36 at home, 45-27 on the road. So the Astros lose it last night 4-0 in a terrible game. And I'm not sure that was the headline nationally for everybody last night. The national shows really haven't picked up on that nearly as much as they have the Aaron Rodgers injury.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably dominated
maybe
a little bit more than the Astros A's game.
When a guy who, and I was really excited about watching him with another team this year. I really was. I've got a friend who is high up in the Jets organization, so I'd like to see him do well. And I don't have anything. I'm like, I kind of like this Jets team. I like Robert Saleh. I like like a lot of the players they built. I think they built a really great defense. The defense is going to be really good. I think the Jets were a sneaky team to be a Super Bowl, a strong Super Bowl contender. Aaron Rodgers, for those of you who missed it, on the fourth snap of the game, Aaron Rodgers was sacked. Now, he had been hit on three straight. It was not good, not good by the offensive tackles early on, trying to cut block and missing cut blocks, including Dwayne Brown. And you could see Dwayne Brown's frustration as he knew that his missed block had Aaron Rodgers get hit. But Aaron got hit. It didn't look, you know, he got hit and taken down to the ground, and it just looked like a regular sack. But then he got up, he kind of shook his head no, and then sat back down, and you realize something bad was happening. They helped him off the field, and now the x-rays, they said it was an ankle injury. I thought, okay, well, that's not bad. And they said x-rays came back negative. But then you had Robert Saleh, you know, said it's a serious injury. And what I thought initially at the time was it was, when I saw his foot straighten out real fast, I thought, ooh, that's going to be Achilles. And then when they said, oh, it's an ankle injury, I thought, oh, maybe I'm wrong on this. I don't think I'm going to be wrong. I think it's going to be a serious Achilles injury that knocks him out for this year. And we'll have him questioning whether or not he wants to play football next year, because the rehab process is a pain in the ass on Achilles.
Yeah, 40 years old, it's going to be a different story than if he was a younger player. And you, do you really want to go through all of that and then, you know, and then risk it again? And, oh, by the way, what's the risk for the Jets? They have to go out and get a quarterback this offseason. They can't rely on a guy, a 40-year-old with an Achilles injury.
You get Zach.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
You're fine with Zach.
Yeah, Zach, did he win the game last night?
Yeah, but Zach, well, so Aaron Rodgers understands how to get rid of the ball quickly. When Zach had time to throw, he made some nice throws.
He threw
some rockets in there. I thought Zach, when he had time to throw, the problem is the Jets, they can run block. They don't give you great time to throw. And I just, they're going to have to try to win with they'll have to have an historical performance by the defense and a run. Basically, what we're talking about is Trent Dilfer's Ravens. We got to go back all the way to 2000. That's the only way the Jets can win at the highest level. Is you're gonna have to go all the way back to that level defense, the Jamal Lewis type of running game, only with Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall.
Man, Breece Hall is good, man.
Breece looked good, but I
thought
Dalvin
looked
pretty
good. He made a couple of moves where there was nothing there,
and he made it happen.
And wow,
yeah, he's talented. And Dalvin looked fine too. And then you know, Garrett Wilson is excellent. If you missed his touchdown catch, he had a brilliant touchdown catch. But I just can't see Zach Wilson. I think Zach's gotten better because of Aaron's tutelage, but is he ready? I don't know. I mean, I think it's skills Mills time.
The problem with the 2000 Ravens comparison is that Trent Dilfer was this older player who understood that all I got to do is hand the ball off and not screw it up. Zach Wilson's still a young guy who believes that he's a dude. So he's not going to just simply be a guy who's going to be willing to not try things. And we saw he tried one thing and Milano was standing right there. And they said, no more of that.
Remember that thing that he tried where he ran backwards like 40 yards out of field goal range?
Yes,
and
that
luckily
thing.
Got rid of the ball. And when he went to the sideline, he had Nathaniel Hackett was in his ear, and you could tell he's saying, don't do that.
The Fitzmagic was on with Peyton and Eli. And he
did
was
you
like,
watch that? Yet?
Yeah, I was watching that broadcast, and he goes, man, I've never seen a guy that needs to throw 40 yards to get five-yard gains. I mean, that's the way he loves to, he loves to run backwards. Okay, so odds for the next Jets quarterback, next Jets signing. Nick Foles is 3-1, Colt McCoy 4-1, Taysom Hill 5-1, Davis Mills 7-1.
So wait, so is Taysom with the, they're talking about a trade. Some of these are trades.
Yeah, this is trades. Carson Wentz 8-1, Cooper Rush 10-1. Teddy Bridgewater, Taylor Heineke, Case Keenum. Case, you know what? The Texans, us a second rounder for Case.
Of those guys, the one that would make sense to me would be maybe Taylor Heineke.
Taylor Heineke would be good.
I think
Davis, I like Taylor's game.
Taylor's actually, I wouldn't take Davis Mills. All he is, now they do need a backup. Did you see they went in the game with no third quarterback? And Zach Wilson got Matt Milano was hitting anything that moved last night.
Yeah.
That guy made a billion plays, it seemed like. But they had no backup quarterback.
What about Jacoby Brissett? That wouldn't be a bad one.
Yeah, that'd be all right. I mean, these are guys who are starting experience who can deliver a football.
That's the kind of guy you got to get a mobile talking about player, with Trent Dilfer.
You have to have a mobile
Jacoby's
player.
Been around, seen it, done it. I mean, and he's still, you know, he's got a gun and he's won some football games.
But who can move? You got to have somebody who can move because that offensive line isn't great. I mean, Taysom Hill's not a good enough passer. Carson Wentz is just not a winner.
Russell Wilson. 75 to 1.
Russell's 75 to 1, right?
70 Russell.
Joe Flacco's on this
list. You want to team Russell Wilson with Nathaniel Hackett again? That's not what people are predicting.
Hey, what about
what is that?
You'd have to fire Hackett.
Yeah.
You'd have to fire.
Okay, here are the most interesting names to me that I think would be
Gardner Minshew.
Legitimate. Not Tim. They got Tim Tebow on here at 150 to 1 and Andrew Luck at 100 to 1. Yeah. Come on, what are we doing? Ryan Fitzpatrick, 75. The ones that are most interesting to me that I think could happen would be Andy Dalton at 35 to 1.
I wouldn't want to do that if I was some Gardner Minshew at 40 to 1.
Yeah, but there's no way they're gonna.
No, they probably don't get rid of.
They have to have.
They need
Anthony
a backup
Richardson.
There.
And then what about
Anthony Richardson is banged up too, by the way.
So is there? Yeah. And you're gonna have to have a good backup because he's going to try to run.
Boy, did they use him a bunch? The number of passes, the number of runs he had.
Oh no, they put a lot on his
sacks.
Shoulders.
I mean, they put a lot on his plate.
What do you think about? Are we gonna get anything going with Tom Brady talk?
Yes. It's already started this morning.
It started, but is it legit? It should be legit.
He's a 20 to 1 on this list.
Tom just goes in and just does 1 year. You know, he keeps himself in shape. He just goes in and does 1 year. If Tom Brady were to go to the Jets, I think they have a legitimate chance to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
If it's Zach Wilson, like you, I just don't see Zach being
Nick
able
Foles?
To do it.
Tom Brady's gonna show up on a Sunday, ring that stupid bell in Gillette, and talk about Patriot for life, and then
go to the Jets.
Hey, it'd be the opposite of what Bill Belichick did. Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor's on the list. Well, we'll see. Davis Mills, you know what? Dude's got some experience. I think he's a winner.
What do you give up for him?
Based on what?
I think a second.
Second? Two
what
seconds?
What are you basing him being a winner on?
3 seconds.
You know what the Texans gave up for Matt Schaub?
He was
2 seconds. This is a backup here.
Yeah.
2 seconds for Davis Mills.
Well, but they've seen him play.
Every game has two halves, and every half can be a game for you.
Yeah.
What?
And basically, he won some of those halves.
You know what?
So it's kind of like he's a winner.
Didn't match up play at Virginia? Yeah. And, okay, Virginia lost this week. So, I mean,
there's the
terrible team.
Excuse me?
Davis Mills is a better option.
Because of something that happened.
By the way, Virginia lost
a decade
to James
plus after Matt Schaub left the school.
Virginia covered.
Virginia.
Yeah, they weren't favored against James Madison, were they?
James Madison was a touchdown favorite at Virginia.
What?
I saw that and I was like, how bad is Virginia? I mean, James Madison is always
pretty
good.
That's a good
program.
Yeah, good program.
They were a 6.5-point dog.
No kidding.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
What?
Yeah.
Jameis Winston, I think he'd be perfect for the
Jets. If you're going to go get a guy, that would be the guy I would go get.
You would?
If I'm the Jets.
If I had my brothers on this list.
You guys cannot have statues.
No, I'm looking for the comedy.
I would have Taylor Heineke.
Taylor Heineke is the one that would make sense to me.
Yep.
Run a team. It's not going to be a substantial upgrade over Zach Wilson, but he's athletic. He's mobile outside of the pocket, and he can just deliver the ball and play on time and be smart. Cooper Rush, too slow. He's on this list. Taysom Hill, not enough arm. Colt McCoy just really hasn't played enough football.
Athletic, though. Taysom, you know what?
Oh, very
with that
athletic.
Offensive line.
What about Colt? He's sitting out there as a – Colt's a street free agent, isn't he?
Yeah, he was cut.
I mean, but no one picked him up.
No.
I just don't. I think Heineke is.
Man, you talk about with an offensive line like that, you want Colt McCoy?
I would do everything
He's
I
like
could.
He's like 60 years old.
I would do everything I could to convince Tom Brady.
Oh,
but you can't. But he's a kind
he's
of
he's going to go against the family.
He's a statue too.
Is he going to go against the family?
Probably not. But which family?
The Patriot family.
Because he ain't talking about Giselle. She already made her point. No,
well, we know that. But he's gonna say I'm a Patriot for life. Show up on game one, then go play them twice this year.
He's going to be a Patriot.
He's a Patriot.
He's a sleeper cell.
He goes
in the Jets and messes it up.
Why would he spend his time doing that?
All right, 703-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. Anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to do that. Hey, listen, my bookie, this is the start of the season is here. It's so fun. If you haven't been on my bookie, if you've never seen it before, I think it's the best betting site you can go to. They got a cash out early on your parlay deal now that is fantastic. If you're looking for a great way to play, win, and get paid. And you have you ever been able to, okay, you hit the first two legs of your parlay. Have you ever been, I just, you know what, I'm not crazy about the last one. I want to cash out now. No, you can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. You can do that at MyBookie. Join the MyBookie family for an entire season filled with daily odd boosts, same game parlays, and super contests. And you know what? We'll find out what they do with the Aaron Rodgers things. There's a lot of books that have that canceled Aaron Rodgers plays yesterday. We'll see what MyBookie does with that. This season, MyBookie has a no-strings-attached cash bonus that lets you deposit and withdraw quick. Use promo code BET975 on a deposit of $50 or more, and you can receive up to $200 in cash instantly to your MyBookie account. Bet your deposit amount once, and you're already you are already ready to withdraw at any time. Again, that's promo code BET975 to claim your cash deposit bonus. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your daily distraction from the horrific reality of your very existence. Man, I didn't know it was that bad. But hey, it's John and Lance.
Love for him, so you know, my heart goes out to him. I have no idea what's happened. I got to see him at halftime for a second, but you know, I know, you know, he'll find a way to keep working to get back. But that's tough. It hurts us as a team, you know. But my job as a quarterback is I got to step up and I got to be able to be efficient as I can in that offense. And a lot of emotions, right? Like week one, opening day, you know. Trying to learn as much as I can from this guy, but I also got to make sure I'm ready to go. And so a lot of emotions, you know, you got to be able to try and stay calm and, you know, go out there and try and perform the best you can.
What was that conversation at halftime? Like you said, you spoke to him briefly. What did he say to you?
Yeah, I mean, the whole team was up to him. So really, I just kind of went in there and said, love you, man. You know, didn't ask him any questions. Just wanted to show him that I love him.
That's Zach Wilson. Honestly, of all the people that hated that Aaron Rodgers injury the most, it was probably Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Well, for a couple reasons. One thing
put
you saw
all of the weight on him.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think he's ready to do it, but I think the Aaron Rodgers tutelage was going to, one thing about watching Hard Knocks is you realize Aaron really took him under his wing. He would tell him, come here, Zach, when you're looking at this play, you got to, you know, you go from here to here on your reads. Like Aaron was really helping him. I was really impressed. And, you know, he's not worried about the Jordan Love thing. I'm sure there was some competitiveness there. He already knows he's the guy. And he was very good with Zach Wilson. And you could see Zach's confidence. You could kind of see it yesterday. He's still a more confident player. But I think it would have been so good for him to learn a whole year under Aaron Rodgers to give him a chance to resurrect his career, basically. But
the guy that is creating the biggest disappointment in the city.
Yeah.
Because
it's so much pressure.
I mean, honestly, the deflating of that stadium when Aaron Rodgers went in and he went out and he had to go in.
Did you see the look on Robert Saleh's face?
Yeah. No. You are the cause for such such a disappointment in the city. Mm-hmm. And there is such a difference between Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson. And for him to be able to sit and learn, like you said, and watch a whole season of how Aaron Rodgers goes about it, learn everything he possibly could from him. Now, after that's all he had was a training camp with him and four plays, and that's it. Now, Aaron Rodgers may be around and help him out, but because he's getting paid $40-some million, whatever Aaron Rodgers is, I forget what his contract was. Maybe he'll come around and he'll hang out and he'll help Zach Wilson through the season. But to be the cause of the biggest disappointment in sports that I can't remember, the buildup of Aaron Rodgers all offseason with all the Jets fans and all the national media and everything else. Even just casual, I don't even care about Aaron Rodgers or the Jets or anything else. And it was just such a huge storyline all offseason. I don't remember it being such a popcorn fart. Like Y2K is the only thing I think that's comparable. The buildup to Y2K.
Yeah, but this is based on something that was, Y2K just never materialized.
This didn't either. Well, it was four plays.
But not through any fault of like, oh, we shouldn't have hyped it up like this. It was... just a horrific injury. I mean, you lose J.K. Dobbins for the year, but this is Aaron Rodgers with a great defense, with veterans all over the team. Garrett Wilson, an emerging talent. You added Dalvin Cook.
No, I know, but I'm saying about as far as a build-up with such a nothing. It was a nothing.
Well, it's a letdown. It's a disappointment to me, a massive
Forrest
disappointment.
Forrest Whitley maybe comes to mind.
Well, those guys never got it done. This is an injury.
So was Forrest Whitley, like this is 30 injuries.
But this is an injury short-circuit at a Hall of Fame career, a Hall of Famer. Forrest Whitley never has done anything.
Oh, says
ever.
You.
Says all of everybody. But Aaron Rodgers still clearly had plenty left in the tank. But, I mean, the Jets still won. That's what's lost, because they understand they may have won the battle, but they lost the war. Yeah. Make no mistake, there's no one they can pull off this list that John and I were reading that is going to give them a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl. It just, unless their defense is 85 Bears caliber, unless their defense is 2,000 Ravens, unless their running game has to be on a level of, you know, and eventually you have to get to a point where you're comfortable with Zach Wilson getting enough protection from the offensive line and then making smart plays. I don't know if I can get there with him. I mean, he had a bad interception in the middle of the field, but that was overshadowed in some ways by Josh Allen's. Look, the Jets don't even have a chance. They won in overtime with a punt return by SFA's, Stephen F. Austin's, or is it Sam Houston or Stephen F.? Stephen F. Austin's Xavier Gibson, wide receiver, returned a punt for a touchdown in overtime. They won. But Josh Allen, I don't know that I've seen a player make more incredible plays and more terrible plays in one game.
Yeah.
In both of them. Like,
how in the world is that not over the
line?
So
as long as your heel is...
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
Yeah.
As
no, your whole body can be over
as a quarterback, you know where the line of scrimmage is. You just have an innate feeling. You, if you're... You have an innate feeling about where the if the rush is beaten down on you. You have an innate feeling about where that line of scrimmage is and where you can't go. That he was that to me, he's way over the line.
But
of
he's
scrimmage.
Not. They
I mean,
showed
his,
the line.
His back heel is barely and when the ball and everything else is up in front of it.
The
to
rule,
me, that's a dumb rule.
It's
a bad rule.
It's kind of a strange rule that your entire body can be past the line of scrimmage, but if any part of your body, it's just like the offsides in soccer. If any part of your body is still equal to the line or behind the line, it's good. So at the time, real time, I thought he was past the line.
I thought he was past the line.
And then
when you look at it and his heel is barely at the line of scrimmage, you're like, I get the rule. It's just
at least
a bad
make
rule.
It the
it's
throwing,
a, I think it's a
the
bad rule.
Throwing arm.
Yeah, it should be where the ball is.
Yeah, where the ball. Well, everything else is where the ball is, but apparently this is the one thing where the ball doesn't matter.
It's the only
thing. Yeah, you can have the ball. Wait, you can have the ball past it.
Well, except touchdowns. You know, the ball could be out of bounds, but your feet are in bounds.
Sure,
you know.
The plane or whatever. But the plane, his plane, the ball was
way past
the line of scrimmage.
Way past it. Anyway.
But regardless, he had Jordan Whitehead intercepted him three times in the game. Two were deep balls with safety over the top where he just overthrew. It was almost like he was punting.
Yeah.
You know, and then the last one, Jordan Whitehead made a really good play on it, but I thought Troy Aikman did a great job of pointing out this is a bad route by Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis showed no sell. He did not sell to the inside to keep the safety from biting, jumping on that route. He ran a really rounded route with no fake on the inside. So Jordan Davis just undercut it and made a really good interception. But then in overtime, it wasn't overtime. Then, in the fourth quarter, you also had Josh Allen fumbling, you know, just kind of fumbling a snap, and it was a fun game to watch from a standpoint of seeing if the Jets could somehow find a way to win. I was cheering for Zach Wilson. He's had a terrible 2 years. I'd like to see him, you know, salvage his career. I'm not against any quarterback at all. I want him to do fine. Just not against Texans, but let's be real. I mean, Zach Wilson ain't going to cut it for them.
Mm-hmm.
They need Davis Mills more than ever before.
Nope.
And to me, you pay whatever it takes to get a Davis Mills in there.
All right.
If it's a next year's first, then I would do that. Did you see him against the Rams last year in the second half?
What about the Chargers?
2 years ago. And the Chargers last year? The Rams 2 years ago. The Chargers last year.
No, the Chargers 2 years ago.
No, Chargers were last year. They almost beat the Chargers.
Yeah,
he beat
the Eckler.
The Rams, they covered the second.
On the line, but they also beat the Chargers
the year before.
Yeah, they beat the Chargers. Yeah. They had Rams. They came back in the second half and covered. Yeah.
So you think a conditional first or just a straight-out first for Davis Mills?
First.
Well, it's just the first.
Because we know...
No conditions.
We know the Jets don't have to give the Packers a first. They have to give them a second because the Rodgers trade included a conditional first.
How about he had to play 70% of the snaps?
Yes.
How about he's going to play less than 1%
of
the snaps?
So the Packers were counting on a first. They'll get their second.
Yeah. Ooh, that's going to hurt.
So the Jets have
a
first to give.
So they have that available for Davis Mills.
They
so basically you give up a first and a second for Davis Mills.
A first and a second?
Well,
I mean, you're not going to have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you got right.
So, you know, for your quarterback, you end up giving up first and a second, and you end up with Dave. There's a lot of people driving out like, these guys are idiots. They think Davis Mills would go for a first. Okay, this is the part where I have to tell
explain.
You.
No, you don't.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke to me.
Is Bill O'Brien the GM for the Jets?
Maybe.
What?
Is Bill O'Brien the GM for the Jets? Do we know that to be the case? Because I feel like that's the only way
that scenario would happen.
Yeah. Two firsts. He'd give up two firsts.
For Davis Mills?
Yeah, two firsts. 727 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 713-780-3776. We talk
Brian
about the
Hoyer
Texans
time.
On
Brian
the other
Hoyer
side.
Time.
We will hear from this head coach, not the former head coach, Bill O'Brien, on the other side. But let's talk about Doc Linville right now. Doc Linville is awesome. Doc Linville is going to give you hair. Doc Linville gave me hair. I love what Doc Linville did for me. 975hair.com is where you go. You find out whether or not you get the neo-grafting, which is a great process. It was a simple process. Basically painless, but you also got an anesthesia that lasts for 3 days now. You don't need it to last for 3 days, because I'm going to tell you this. I was back at work a couple days later. Fred, I've said this I don't know how many times. Fred was in the chair getting neo grafting for 8 hours, and then he worked that day. He worked at his afternoon show. That's how easy this process is. After that, you can also get the PRP, which will stimulate the growth in your hair. This is something, ladies, that you could do as well. If your hair is thinning, Doc Linville can get you to stimulate your hair. There's a lot of women that lose hair, and the PRP will help stimulate that hair. You don't necessarily have to neograft. You can do PRP, and he can do it for men, women, whatever. The case may be, here's the deal, is you want hair, you love your hair, don't lose your hair. If you are losing your hair, go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
ESPN. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. So did you see Zach Wilson walking off the field and into the tunnel, and he got hit by a water bottle by a fan?
No.
Yeah. And you can see, the Jets need to investigate this.
He's the next BB. He's BB Rexa. You don't know what that means.
No.
Del, you know when BB Rex got hit in the face.
I know who she is. I didn't know she got hit by
She him. Got, well, go look at that video. So did, she was, and so did Nicki Minaj, or was it?
Cardi.
Cardi
B.
Cardi B got hit, and then she hit somebody with a microphone.
And then they're suing her.
Well, she kept asking for water. I don't know. But all I know is that this is the new thing where people are just throwing things at people.
Well, how about Alabama fan? Did you hear that?
Well, I thought a lot of that was really classy.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
An LSU fan came and stuck his flag in my booty.
That's the SEC for you.
Yeah, that is the SEC. How about for Texas? They were yelling stuff.
Texas was taunting the fans like, we've seen forever,
around,
you know.
Yeah.
You've won, and now the fans who've been yelling at you, you go back at them. And this one fan who is yelling, there's people yelling at him, what's to be expected. But the one who, it seems like he's recording it,
He might be recording
honestly, so I don't even know how it leaked. But he's recording it, and he's yelling at them.
He might have been. It could have been a guy next to him. You don't know.
Yeah, and he's yelling at them you're trash.
I think he used the really, really bad F word. Did he drop?
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
He was calling them efforts.
Yeah,
he was
telling them to go back to the projects.
Yeah,
he kept saying
that over and over.
Right,
and
it was bad. It was bad. Alabama came out, and but
did you see in a thread an LSU fan said, "Really, Texas, you are this soft? If this is upsetting you so much, you're going to hate being the SEC." I'm like, oh my god.
No, this is going to happen. This is going to happen all the time in the SEC.
Bad?
Yeah, it's that bad. It is that bad. They're ugly. SEC is the ugliest place to be. And for them to be, you know, Alabama, we do not. Yeah, you do every game. This happens at every game. This happens at Auburn. It happens at Georgia. It happens everywhere. So just at Ole Miss, it happens everywhere. So
happened at Vanderbilt? No.
Maybe. I don't know. You never know.
Does it happen at Kentucky?
No one cares at Kentucky.
No.
Yeah. Maybe it happens in basketball. Yeah. No, it happens in basketball.
The great Adolph Rupp once told me.
So, D'Amico, watch that game. And you saw how much Aaron Rodgers got hit, by the way. Yeah, it was that Aaron Rodgers done after just four plays. And it was a former Texan who missed his block. So this offensive line isn't any good either. D'Amico does not want to see, after maybe even more so after watching that game, but this is yesterday morning, he was talking to the media, does not want to see CJ getting hit nearly as much as he was on Sunday.
When it comes to the quarterback being hit, you know, we don't want our quarterback hit as much as we were. We have to be better, I think, overall, just as a group in protection, just how we're helping. I thought we had some really good snaps of protection at times, but it's just being more consistent in our protection and our pickups.
Well, and putting Michael Dieter at tackle. Now, they did that. They ran Michael Dieter on the field. He played right tackle, something he's never done before, and he gave up a sack immediately, sack fumble, and it was disastrous. They did move him to guard, and then they moved Josh Jones, who got a couple of holding penalties. But he did relatively well for a
relatively
guy who just
well, meaning not giving up a strip sack on the very first snap that you're in and only snap a tackle.
Yeah.
That's just inexcusable. Like, I don't know who did it, but it's probably the O-line coach, and you cannot do that. That was basic. I saw Dieter. I'm like, what the hell is Dieter doing at right tackle? He's a center guard. Why is he out there at tackle? He doesn't have the quickness to. That's David Ajabo out there. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And immediately,
well,
Ajabo, who's a strip sack master, by the way, in Michigan, he had like five or six strip sacks in 1 year.
Yeah. And listen, that was a huge mistake, a rookie coach mistake, his first ever game. But that's on the offensive line coach, not doing that. As soon as that guy's injured, you don't put Michael Dieter, just throw him in at right tackle. That's like putting Gray Kessinger in for Jose Altuve and bat him first. You don't do that. You just don't do that. But wait a minute. Yes, you do. But what would help CJ a bunch? How about running the ball more? Here's D'Amico talking about the run game and how that really has to improve.
With the running game, we'll see how we can continue to improve our running game. I want to get as many touches as effective as we can be in a run game. We'll try to do that. And I think we can run it more. We'll try to run it more and think we can be more effective at it. We can block it better. And you'll see that.
Yeah, I mean, you really do. You really do have to. Even if it's for naught, but you just can't put all the weight on a rookie quarterback the way that they did on Sunday. You just can't. You gotta give the kid a little bit of a break, right, and at least make them respect the possibility that you're going to run the football.
Yeah, that's the only way you're going to win. I mean, that offense is predicated on running the ball well and helping it set up the pass. Unfortunately, the Ravens basically said, "We'll give you a chance to run on us because we're going to play your bootleg stuff directly." So they had their DNs crashing down hard, and we may see that. You know, we may see that with other teams, too, where the bootleg's just not going to be an option, where he's, you know, under center and running that bootleg where he fakes the outside zone and tries to bootleg the other way. Honestly, if teams decide to keep their DN, what you want is to really start hitting some big cutbacks to where the DN has to crash down on the run play. That's going to make it more valuable. So you're probably going to have to coach it up a little bit where Damian Pierce cuts it further back across the grain, towards the backside, A gap or B gap, so that D end is the team says, hey, we got to make sure you clamp down on that gap. So that's going to be one of the only ways I think that you have to force that. But the Texans can run the ball. I think the Texans will be able to run it. You got to get Titus Howard back. I mean, that's just so important. You're going to be in some problem. You're going to be in a lot of trouble unless George Fant is going to be okay. I haven't heard anything lately on George Fant. Have you? I didn't see anything yesterday.
No, they haven't said that.
We'll see what happens today in the injury. I did hear a story yesterday about Kevin Porter Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Porter Jr., Rockets guard, was arrested in New York on suspicion of domestic violence. His girlfriend, who is a current or former WNBA player, I think former, she was found to have a laceration in her face. that was bleeding. There were marks on her. She went to
on her neck.
She went to the hospital and was hospitalized there. And Kevin Porter Jr. was arrested on suspicion of domestic violence. And this is going to be very interesting. I saw comments about, I mean, getting to how you deal with Kevin Porter Jr. and the basketball side for a second. I saw Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans. I think he was quoting a salary cap guy who talked about it'd be you take, like, I want to say $3.4 million hit this year and then $4 million next year, because his contract was not fully guaranteed. He famously had that contract that looked like it was really high, but he gave the Rockets a lot of protections, and looks like they may have to use that. So I think there's a really good chance that – now, he's beloved in the organization. Kevin Porter Jr. is beloved by management, by, I think, ownership. He's a guy a lot of people with the Rockets really, really like. They must know something that I know from a basketball standpoint. I probably wouldn't have him if you're moving towards a different direction, but they like him personally. This could
be
enough.
Really like him.
Yeah, this could be enough to where they pay him $7+ million of whatever's guaranteed, and they move on. I mean, that's
a lot
really
of people
what
are calling for it to happen now, and they can't. The NBA has to do its investigation,
right?
And so you can't. You procedurally, you cannot let him go yet.
No.
So you have to wait and see if you know. I'd say fire him immediately. I mean, if it was Jalen Green, or if it was Fred VanVleet, not saying either of those guys would do this, but if it was somebody that was actually people liked, that people wanted on the team, they might not be so quick to judge. But this is Kevin Porter Jr., and a lot of people, for whatever reason, a lot of people don't even want him on the team. You know, they really, really like him. I know this for a fact. I've talked to them about this, that they think he is a really good kid, and the misconception about him publicly is, they just feel like, no, he was the only one that was at the Ime Udoka, which is kind of dumb for young players not to all show up for the new coach's press conference. Kevin Porter Jr. was the only one that actually showed up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were like, and he spoke, and they really liked this kid. And unfortunately, he's now done another thing that is really hurting his off-the-court thing.
His
that
maturity
doing.
Level is... My son asked me about it. He goes, I'm sorry, I may get in trouble for saying this, but what a dumbass he is. Mason texted me that from school because he has a billion notifications on his phone. I didn't even know what had happened with KBJ at the time. And he texted me, and I had to look it up. And he goes, why would he do something like that? And my answer to him was, well, you know, he's emotionally immature. He doesn't know how to, and he has anger problems. And, you know, we saw it when he was a very young person coming out. He spent a year in college. And he went to Cleveland and had issues with anger and maturity at Cleveland. This is who he is. I mean, this is who he is. Can he get better in life? Maybe so. But this is one where if you're the Rockets, you really and you've got a head coach who got dismissed from the Celtics for not domestic stuff, but for issues with a woman. I wouldn't take a chance. I'm like, I don't want to be that team. Kevin Porter Jr., the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And frankly, if the reports come out, I mean, he was clearly, if everything is true, what came out, he was very violent. Forget all the other stuff. Are you going to keep that guy if he's hitting women and causing lacerations and, you know, got his hands around people's throats? Are we really doing that?
No. Apparently, he had to be led into the room.
Yeah.
And then he
came home late is what I read. That's Robert Little had that. He came home late at 6 something in the morning. This arrest happened at 6:47,
yeah.
Or they were called at 6:47 in the morning. So I think, you know, it's a relationship thing, right?
Yep.
You get home way later than you were supposed to. She locked him out. She was mad at him, whatever. And then he had somebody let him in, and then, you know, allegedly went to work on his girlfriend. And if you're the Rockets, this just isn't something. I wouldn't put up with it or deal with it.
I don't want to butcher her name, but is it? Kirsray Gondrezik?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
She is the goddaughter of John Lucas.
Yikes. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, and there's an update on the Mel Tucker situation as well that is really, it's really gotten to a point where, oh my goodness, this thing is really convoluted. Let's talk a little bit about tequila right now, though, Lance.
Well, it's not convoluted from a tequila standpoint. When they crystal, so what they do is on their Cristalino, and they invented the Cristalino. This is something they came up with where they took three different types of tequila and they charcoal filter it, which, you know, gets out the impurities. They age it to have an impact on, well, by charcoal filtering it, impurities, but I should really say it basically gives it the clear look. It clarifies it. And then you have the aging process and everything that they do from that standpoint that gives it the flavor profile. And it is fantastic. The Cristalino is really, really nice. It's got a little bit of a sweet finish, a little hint of sweetness, and it is a very smooth tequila. It is excellent for sipping, and I highly recommend it. And that's just an example of how they're ahead of the game. Maestro Nobel is a very big tequila in Mexico, very beautifully designed bottles that you can buy there. And in the States, they're getting bigger and bigger. They continue to market. They continue to get put in more stores. And the quality of their product is outstanding. I vouch for them all day long, no matter whether it's Reposado, Añejo, the Silver, the Smoke Silver, the Cristalino, or the Big Boy, which is more expensive, the Añejo Extra Cristalino, which is top of the line. You're going to get quality that really hits the spot and a great price point. It's Maestro Nobel.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's time to rejoin the undisputed best sports talk show in Houston. It's Clearly John and Lance, except no substitutes.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. A side note, we don't care about Michigan State, but it is a weird story. Mel Tucker being accused of self-gratification, non-consensual self-gratification on a
Look
phone call.
Look at John, the growth. The growth from yesterday. When he mentioned Hank.
My son Mason goes, I got in a car and you said earmuffs. Like, what was John talking about? I said, I can't remember. Mm. And my wife said, oh, I heard it. And I said, well, I don't remember what it was. She said, oh, I'll tell you later. I said, I didn't say anything. She goes, oh, you were involved.
Said, yes, you were.
I said, no, I wasn't.
Yes.
I remember I had to say earmuffs so John realized there were kids going to school at 8. I remember it was 8:20 on there.
So
but
your
this
wife,
is, now he is using words that can trick kids.
So your wife actually made your son put his hands over his ears so he didn't hear it?
No, I said earmuffs on the, but we stopped talking about it.
Oh, yeah, because John's shown growth.
Yeah, no, this is a very
is a much
mature,
different way of approaching it than what he did yesterday.
Of saying what he did, yeah.
When you mentioned Hank and whatever else you said. Yeah, I know what he said. I just don't want to finish
it. Yeah.
Look at you.
Yell out with your Dell out. With Tank Dell out. Or no.
Roughing up the suspect.
Yeah. No, okay.
Why did you do that, Lance? That's on you.
What did I do?
Yell out with your Dell out.
Did you just let him down the road?
Before we get into Mel Tucker, let me just get the KPJ. I want to get some distance and separation. Let's get Clarence in real quick.
Oh, okay.
So get his thoughts on KPJ. Kevin Porter Jr., once again, if you're just joining us, arrested yesterday on suspicion of domestic violence that ended up sending his girlfriend
to the
hospital.
Is this our Clarence that was at Nick's place with us the other day?
I don't know.
The one and only. What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, Clarence?
Doing good. You know, I keep hearing y'all call KPJ a kid, and like in our eyes, yes, he is a kid, but he's still a young man and someone in a Rockets organization. I don't want to sound like I'm blaming them as well, but after mistake that he's made publicly and outside of basketball life, someone in that organization should have gotten him help, got him counseling, try to help him mature as a man instead of the irrational, immature man child that he is, putting hand on a woman. And I don't care what kind of investigation the NBA and the Rockets have to find out, the moment that news came out and you've seen how she looked, it's over for him. He's gone. He shouldn't even be in the league. And everybody wants to believe in second chances, but second chances need to be earned, not given. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. I agree with that. I don't know that the Rockets haven't done what you're discussing. I don't know. Honestly, I really don't know. And it does seem like they have an unusual amount of love for this kid. This young man, you're right. He is a young man and he needs to be held accountable for his actions. And I think he will be by the league. I think the league will suspend him for the for the year, basically. I don't know. What happened with Mikal Bridges? Not Mikal Bridges.
No, it was Mikal Bridges. Bridges.
Not Bridges, though.
Bridges in Charlotte. I don't remember his first name.
Yeah. But what happened with him, his suspension?
Miles Bridges is
Miles
his name.
Bridges. Yeah.
I don't know if they came down and said an entire year. It was just like, well, this is under investigation. I don't remember if they actually said, oh, he's out for 70 games. I forgot how they worded it. But he didn't play, obviously, last year. But he will play this year, it looks like.
I mean, frankly, this domestic abuse cannot be tolerated. This is really – I'm seeing this so much. Like, I can't believe how many videos I see on YouTube of just men who – and I understand there's some situations where women get violent with the men.
Still, no hands on a woman.
But that's what I mean. Yep. This thing where athletes are just they punch women, or that young men think it's okay to just fight women – mm-mm. I just can't believe amount of times I'm seeing this now.
I saw a video yesterday.
And it's happening.
Guys
more.
Hitting a woman.
Yeah.
I don't care how crazy she gets. You walk away. I love, there was the Raiders game where the Raider fan was in the face of the, it was that might have been the Chandler Jones game where he caught the pass and, or caught
the
lateral against the Patriots. Yeah. And this woman was in his face so bad. And touching and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and he just stood there.
Yeah, but
that's got to
be,
like,
addressed too.
Yeah.
Like, that.
No,
cannot,
yeah, right,
people
right.
need to step in and not let that kind of crap
right.
happen also. And if women attack men, they need to be held accountable. And mm-hmm. and the legal system needs to step in and arrest men.
Yeah,
and all
bodily
that
harm
too.
Against anyone should be held accountable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But pro athletes who now are, and athletes and young people in general who are coming up thinking that you know that if you get mad that lashing out and physically assaulting your partner is okay. I mean, it's not okay.
And
let's start coming down hard as leagues on.
You
it.
Have to make a business decision. And I know that the heat of the moment is so great, but this is all a business decision, guys. And oh, by the way, you shouldn't put hands on a woman, but the loss of revenue from one moment is, I mean, you can't even put, it's dumb, it can't be dumber. You have to be able to control yourself. And I know that's awfully difficult in an emotional situation, but you have to. And you know what? KPJ might have ruined his entire career. We'll see if he is able to bounce back from this. And we'll see what the Rockets
do. I don't know
do.
All the details. They're still, and I think it's important we say that. You know, Matt Araiza was, once again, we're about to talk about Mel Tucker. We'll have to do it on the other side, but we still need to talk. We got more Texans down. We'll get to the Astros briefly, but there's really, frankly, I don't even know that we should even talk. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about with the Astros? They got three hit. They had a one hitter going into the ninth. They got beaten by the A's, dominated by the A's. Don't we just throw this game in the trash and move on to today?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to understand that a loss didn't really hurt them, but it did hurt John's chances of them finishing with the 6-game lead.
And that's important,
so that's
too,
great.
For us.
Just to clear it up how the NBA treated Miles Bridges, he was arrested on June 29th, 2022. Now, he was a impending free agent, so obviously that ruined his free agency. So he didn't really sign a deal. He had a qualifying offer that he did not sign at the time, and no one was going to give him any money. So the NBA waited till April 14th of 2023 to suspend him for 30 games, which meant it took away the rest of the regular season because they're at the end. But I think he's available to play starting this year.
He's allowed to start.
So it was
I was
a 30
reading
game,
about it.
It was a 30-game suspension, but he didn't play at all last year because the
he's on a three-year – by the way, he's on three-year probation with the legal system.
And
that's pretty
– you know, KPJ is going to probably face a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah, we'll see what all the – but
we'll see.
When we come back, we do need to get to main stories again. We'll reset for those of you on the road. Aaron Rodgers, huge news. You've got the Texans. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans and Will Anderson and Kevin Porter Jr.'s future. But this Mel Tucker stuff is – I think it's worth talking about.
Absolutely. You got to talk right now about Underdog Fantasy.
I know Underdog's worth talking about. I know that their Pick'em challenge is 100. I don't know if it's it's not a contest. It's more of kind of a challenge because you're playing against yourself and you're playing against the game. Basically, they set different types of stats for the different players, right? So every player has certain type of stats. For example, you had yesterday Breece Hall's rushing yardage, or it might have been receiving yards, or Garrett, or Garrett's catches, Garrett Wilson's catches, total catches, like 5.5, for example, might be a number. And they set the stat, and you go higher or lower. And if you pick those right, you have a chance to multiply your money. This is awesome with the pick'em. You pick two right, you get three times your money. If you pick two high or low right, you get three times your money. If you pick five right, you get 20 times your money. And they gave you a layup the other day. It's a $10 minimum. It's a $10 maximum, but they gave you Saquon Barkley was 0.5. You could have gone higher, and there's your first winner, but you have to, but it's a $10 max there. There's no maximum. You can put whatever you want on your Pick'em Challenge when you decide to play on Underdog Fantasy. It's an easy format to use, whether you're going to UnderdogFantasy.com or using the app that you download. But I want you on your first deposit to use promo code Lance, because they're going to throw $100 into your account. Well, up to $100 match on your first deposit. So make sure you're putting in at least $100. Maximize your deposit, guys. Once again, make sure you let me know when you do that, so we'll play some daily fantasy against each other as well. It's my good friends over at Underdog Fantasy. That's underdogfantasy.com. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Conservative play. Call 800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.